We're going to head over to the baby dedication now. Do you have the slide? Thank you, Brett and Cindy, for helping us so nicely at the back this morning. No. The other one that I sent you, there's two documents that I sent you. There's a baby dedication slide on the other one. No, there's another slide on it. Sorry.
Morning, church. Now, I just want to say it's a huge privilege for us to be here to do this this morning for this dedication. And I think it's quite fitting that we're doing it on Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. Because I think mothers play such a special role in raising our children. And we are privileged on both sides of our family to have four generations now. My mother gave her life to the Lord, my father, after they were married. And they raised us in the faith. And Bradley is the same, his family come from a line of born again Christians. So we are so privileged to have that in our lives and the way we were raised. And so it's special to be able to just hand that down to the little ones. You know, we handed it down to Carolyn and to Bradley, and now they have to pass it on to their children. And it's just a privilege to witness that this morning.
Good morning, Church of God. I observed this morning the mothers, little children, and how appreciative they are. And it took me back to the time when my children were small. I mean, just Brady is my baby. There's Francois, there's Sonia. And I have sympathy with you, mothers, I have sympathy with you. They are really a handful. But as you can see where the Lord brought me and Mike, I mean, as the parents of Bradley and Carolyn, and now we are the grandparents. Keep on keeping on, holding on. They're getting there where you want them to be. And the most important thing that you must realize, time is flying so fast. I want you to enjoy them, irrespective of if they are a handful. I mean, there we are. Here we are. If we look back what our life, it feels like it was yesterday.
Oh, Carolyn,
so this is baby Bethany. Thank you to each one of you that's here to share in this special morning. Bethany is a joy. I think those who've spent some time with her already will know from a very young age she started smiling and giggling and laughing. Her name, Bethany, means house of joy and desire for goodness. And that's really this morning a prayer over her that she will be filled with God's joy, that God will protect her, that the joy will not be stolen. And as you can see, she's praying along. that she will just live in the freedom and the strength that comes with the joy of her salvation. And her second name is May, M-A-E. Not the month of May, but May, short for Margaret. Bradley had a very special auntie in his life, Auntie Margaret. And it's just to honor her and the role that she played in his life. And Margaret means pure, or it means pearl. And that's also something that we feel for Bethany's life, that she will walk in purity. May can also be short for Mary, which means beloved. And as we know, Bethany is the town where Mary sat at Jesus' feet, where she poured out perfume on his feet. And so we just trust that she will have that kind of relationship with her Savior.
Sorry, I'm going to have to read this. There's such a lot packed in these few lines. Listen carefully. So Bradley and Carolyn, do you acknowledge with gratitude the gift of Bethany May as a gift from God? Is it your desire to raise her up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord according to His holy word, and in the presence of this congregation to dedicate her to the Lord?
Do you acknowledge your dependence on God as stewards of this awesome gift and commit yourselves to continuously seek His counsel to raise her up in the way she should go?
We do.
Amen.
I'm just going to pray over Bethany. Thank you, Jesus, for this amazing gift that you've given us, God. Yeah, I thank you that she's already a joy, and where she walks, Lord, the room lights up. I pray, Lord, that where she will walk in this dark, Lord, world, that where she walks, the light will just shine through the darkness as she enters, Lord, because you are with her, Lord. You are with her wherever she goes. Thank you for the purity that she will pursue, Lord, and thank you for the purity that she will bring, Lord, wherever she goes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that she will be also a bridge builder, Lord, and she will be a reconciler, and she will be a mediator, Lord, but most of all, she will be a keeper of peace. That she will be a keeper of peace, Lord. But where she goes, she will bring peace, Lord, in Jesus' name. And thank you, God, that she carries your presence, which this world needs, Lord. And as she walks in this dark world, Lord, I pray, Lord, that everyone who has an encounter with her will get to know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and personal Savior, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I think, you know, we acknowledge as a church community that Carolyn and Bradley can't do this by themselves. So I think as just as acknowledgement from the congregation side, if you guys can just stand, and maybe if it's meaningful, just reach out your hand as the elders pray for them, just as a symbol that you guys support them. And obviously it's the body of Christ, so, you know, people that are youth leaders and Sunday school teachers, and even the small way that you contribute towards the church, that you are a part of raising her and supporting her and holding them accountable for what they do.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Just reminded and feeling my heart, like, peace is not the absence of conflict, but real peace is the presence of Jesus. So Father, thank you that is your truth about Bethany's life. And Lord, I just want to pray for Bradley and Caroline, Father, that you will give them wisdom, intentionality, authority, and humility to steward that world, oh God. Father, I just want to pray, mighty God, for the resources of heaven, Lord, through them, oh mighty God, to raise Bethany in the way that she needs to go. Pray, mighty God, as they jump through so many hoops and go through so many hurdles, oh God, your word is a lamp unto their feet. And every step of the way, Lord, you guide them, showing them, oh mighty God. They don't need to understand what's going to happen within a week, within a month, within a year. All they need to know is what you are doing today and stewards that in Bethany's life. Lord, I pray as well, Father, for us as a community to really be able to bring into that space, oh Father, godly accountability. To call out, oh mighty God, wrongs when it's wrong, and to encourage when something good is being done. Thank you that we can trust you with this, not in our own on our own merits, but on the merits of the finished work of Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for Bethany. We thank you for the purity that you've brought here. Thank you that she is part of the next generation that you are raising. We recognize what you're doing, and we acknowledge it, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that when she is of age, she will be sensitive to God's presence, and she will be in constant communion. She will know what God's heart is, and she will flow in it, and she will bring light to your generation, Lord. Thank you that she will not be afraid to speak the truth. She will be bold and fearless because she knows God, and because she has walked with God. Thank you that generation will need that, and that you've already raised in your prophets right from the beginning, Lord, even before the time. And so we bless Bethany. We speak your life, we speak your grace, and we speak your anointing even upon your life. And we also bless the parents in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord God, we thank you for this day, and yeah, thank you that we can rejoice with the Rangoli family, Lord God, about Bethany May, and yeah, just the joy that she brings, Lord God. And yeah, today I also just want to pray a blessing over Bradley and Carolyn as parents, Lord God. And yeah, Lord, you've given them this wonderful gift, Lord God. And yeah, Lord, I really pray that I just want to pray a blessing over their household, Lord God. And yeah, Lord, for Bradley as the head of the household, Lord God, I pray that you will really just increase, Lord God, his ability to act as a father, Lord God, as a priest and a king, Lord God, and a prophet for his household, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you will increase his capacity to love his family, Lord God, to put them first, Lord God. He labors well for the kingdom, Lord God, but to love his family well, Lord God, that every person in his family will know that they are loved, Lord God. And Lord, I thank you for Carolyn, Lord God, and just her heart as a mother, Lord God, her nurturing heart, Lord God, that she really has so much capacity for people, Lord God, and so much wisdom, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you will just continue to increase, Lord God, those talents that you have given her, Lord, even more, Lord God, that may, Lord, just flow into their household, Lord God, into their children, Lord God, and that, Bethany may also just be such a recipient, Lord God, of good and godly parents, Lord God, that she may feel loved in their household, Lord God. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will be so present in their homes, Lord God, in their everyday lives, Lord God, in their hearts, Lord God, and that, their children, Lord God, will really just, grow to love you, Lord Jesus, and that, they will love you above all else, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray.
Father, we thank you that we can give you the honor and the glory, the praise and the worship. That we can look back at our own lives as grandparents. And when we taken back to the time when Carolyn was small, Betty was small. And we always look, how will we get here? But bring them to the point that they don't walk by sight, that they walk by faith. Because the song says, I trust where I cannot see, no matter how dark the way may be. Lord, I thank you for Bethany. Thank you that you bestowed upon her this morning your glory and your honor, and that she will be the light of the world. She will be the beacon of hope. And I thank you, Lord, for Bradley, for the pastor, the head of the household. Keep him focused, Lord. Let him walk in faith. Thank you for Carolyn beside his side, the mother of his children, Lord. Let them focus. Let them look. Keep their eyes upon Jesus. Let them look in his wonderful eyes. And the things of the earth will go strangely dumb in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the worship that was offered up here this morning, Lord. We pray that it will be a sweet aroma to you, Lord. And as this dedication, as we've gone through this dedication, Lord, that it will also be an act of worship to you, Lord, that we dedicate Bethany to you, Lord, and that she will be raised knowing you and walking the road. And Lord, we look forward to just watching how that unfolds, Lord, your will for her life and the path that you want her to walk, Lord. We look forward to seeing that. We pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thanks for bearing with us this morning, guys. The kids can be dismissed for kids' church if they haven't gone yet. There's kids' church in the office at the back. So the kids can be dismissed for kids' church. I just wanted them to see the dedication. It's such a beautiful moment just to also witness it together as a family.
Thank you, Cindy.
Amen. Now, thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Thank you that you are the King and the Lord of this house. Thank you that we can submit to your will and your way now. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth, Lord, will be pleasing and acceptable to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, hallelujah. So this morning I'm going to talk about a topic that's close to the Shofar Boston's heart. It's a place to belong. God has called us to belong, first of all. Jesus is the one who gives belonging. Jesus is the one we belong to. We were created by Him, through Him, and for Him. That's what the Word of God says. Paul says it in Colossians. He says that nothing was that was created wasn't created by Him and for Him. And that is what we've been created for. We were created for Jesus. As Siko said, the only thing that we can give back to Jesus today is our worship. The fact that we can worship Jesus is a fact that we are able to give back to our Savior for saving us. The fact that Jesus died on the cross for us is our response comes out of worship, and that is something that comes from your spirit, which flows out. And worship is something that happens on the inside that flows over into your outer side. And that's exactly what we were doing this morning. So for those who've been experiencing it for the first time, is that something in your spirit cried out this morning and saying, God, I recognize this, and I want to be part of this. And I want to know this. So this morning I'm going to speak about a topic called The Place to Belong. We are Shofar Boston. We've been going through a series. In the beginning of the year, God spoke to us as the leadership of the church and said, new wine is the word for the year. And we've been unpacking it, and we've been trusting the Lord. How does that fit into what we are saying and what we are doing? How does the new wine play into our daily lives? How do we reflect the new wine when we go out into our workplaces, where we work, where we teach, or whatever our lives do in our day-to-day? What is it that we're doing? If I'm studying, is the Spirit of God evident in my life? And that was the new wine thing. And then God gave us this venue, and He said, here is your new wineskin. And I'm pouring my new wine into this wineskin, because you can't pour new wine into an old wineskin, because of the new wine would burst the wineskin. Carolyn shared a message on in Luke 5 where it says that the garment that we have, we can't put old stuff into a new garment. Eh? Because it will tear. And that's why God said He's giving us a Shofar Boston this year, a new wineskin. And welcome to your new wineskin. And then I shared the story and I shared the testimony about the well. This place being a well, we see water. Sam has been preaching as a prophetic. He flows with the water. The Spirit of God is upon us, is among us, and has called us to preach the good news for those in need. But we can only preach the good news if we have received the good news. If we haven't received the good news, we can't live the good news. If you haven't let the gospel transform you, how can you live something that you haven't experienced for yourself? Am I right? And this is where we're going today, a place to belong. Because first and foremost, Jesus gives belonging. He says, I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends. Same quoted at John 15. Abide in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And we all want to belong. When we grow up, we want to belong. When we go into school, we want to belong in a group. We all have this belonging in our heart. But we can only find true belonging in Jesus Christ. Because He created us. Amen? God created us for Him, and that's for His worship. So this morning we're going to reflect a bit on the book of Romans. So the book of Romans was written to the church of Rome. As we know, the church of Rome was the most growing church in that time, the fastest growing church. But Paul wrote this letter to them to explain to them the true gospel. The true gospel and the essence of the gospel, because the church of Rome was started by Jews. So the Jews believed into the law. And then Paul says, but the law can't save you guys. You're getting this wrong. The law can't save you. Only grace can save you. And then he writes this beautiful book in the response of that. When you look into this book, when you realize that there's a practical way that Paul is telling the church, like us today, to live. He's giving us principles and examples and guidelines to say, guys, here is the life. Romans 8, that says, a life in the Spirit. Therefore, I don't have the spirit that of an orphan, but I have a spirit of a son. And that spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Abba meaning Father in Hebrew. We can cry out Father because that spirit has been planted into us. And when we baptize someone, we reflect a lot on this passage. Romans 6. You are alive to God and you are dead to sin. For the life that you love now, you don't live for sin, but you live for God. Because when you get baptized, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you say, Jesus, I want to publicly declare my love for you today. And that's what baptism is. I publicly declare before everyone that I belong to Jesus Christ and to no one else. That I'm a true living example of the life of Jesus Christ. So Paul's writing this to the church of Rome, to saying to them, hey guys, the gospel that you were preaching, the law, it doesn't make sense. Because the law condemns us, but grace saves us. Because the law wants us to do, and to do. But Jesus said, it's done. You don't have to do, you just have to accept. If you believe and accept that I am the living sacrifice and that I have given my life, in Leviticus 15 that says, the day of atonement comes every year when the priest would slaughter a lamb, and we know that Jesus was that lamb for us. That we don't have to be atoned anymore. We have been atoned 2,000 years ago when the cross. When the blood of Jesus flowed on that cross, we were all atoned. The day we said, Jesus, I believe in you. God, I surrender the will of Bradley to you today and saying, God, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives within me. The book of Romans was also written AD 57. So Jesus went away already. Jesus was in heaven. And now they were trying to figure out a life. And we know that the book of Acts clearly identifies that community is important, because that's the one thing that Jesus gave us. He said, I want to commune with you. I want to have fellowship with you. We know Jesus had the 12 closest to him, and then he had 120, and then he had the masses who followed him wherever he goes. But he created a belonging for those people. Because the gospel that he preached and the word that he said to say, the kingdom of God is at hand. And therefore we need to repent and turn away from our wicked ways. Because in the book of Romans, Romans 5, 4 and 5, Paul takes us back to the start of the creation, into the garden, and he says, by the sin of one man, sin entered into the world. And there was a separation between us and God. But by the sacrifice of another, everything was restored. Amen. And for us today as a church, how do we belong to that? How do we become part of that? How do I become those little three that starting and saying, Jesus, today I choose no one else but you. So let's look at what the word of God says. And it says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace abound? By no means. Can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us were baptized into Christ
were baptized into his death. So Paul's saying to the church, he's saying to them, guys, why are you living like someone who's dead? Where is the freedom that Christ has given you? Why are you not walking in the fullness of God that is set out for us to do? He's saying you are walking around like people who are dead. We were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might walk in the newness of life. So why are we walking around Shofar Boston and of our families here today as people who was bound to sin? Sin no longer has dominion over you, because the day you confess to the Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you went to the baptism is the day that you said, I'm a new person. The old has died. I've literally died. That's why the baptism speaks about going under. Because the fact that Jesus went under, we need to relate with that. When I come out of the water, it's a new me. I've been raised with Christ. The resurrection has taken place in my heart. The resurrection of Christ I can relate to now, because I am a new person. I don't have to walk around as someone who doesn't have life. Let's go on to what Paul says to the church. He says today, if we have been united with him in his death, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection. We know that our old selves was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. And that's why it's important for us, when we go through this, the baptism, we need to understand that the fact, if we didn't go under the water, we're unable to relate with Christ in his death. But when we came out, it was the new us. We were resurrected. Our bodies were made new. Paul says in Galatians, 2 Galatians 5 or 7, he says, it's no longer the old is gone, yet the new has come. And here he's writing it to the church and he's giving them practical notes on how to live. For one who has died has been set free from sin. For if we have died with Christ, we believe that we have also lived with him. We know that Christ, being raised from death, will never die. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. Not the second death. Listen to what Paul's saying to the church. Once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So we also must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus. So the day Jesus came into your life, the Holy Spirit entered your body, the day you said, Jesus, I want to follow you, the day you publicly gave your life to Jesus, saying, world, I'm no longer choosing to live for myself, but I'm choosing to live for Jesus, is the day that you became a new person. Is the day that you belonged to the kingdom of Christ. Is the day that you became a citizen of heaven. Because one day when we were going to Jesus, we will all be united together. We will worship him in spirit and in truth. But the time has come now, and the time is here. And this is what we're preaching in the rest of our shofar movements now, is our conversions is all about this, that we need to worship in spirit and in truth. The woman at the well, when she had that encounter with Jesus, she was transformed. She was changed. Jesus took her shame and gave her his grace. And what happened after that? That whole town of Samaria knew Jesus because of her. We should not be ashamed of the gospel, Romans 1 verse 16. For in it is the power. The power unto salvation. First for the Jews and then for the Greeks. let us, the next slide, thanks Cindy. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. And this is where I want us to focus on quickly. Present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin, come on guys, for sin no longer has dominion over you, since you are not under the law but under grace. Thank you, Jesus. God didn't come to take the law apart. He said, I came to fulfill it. And with the law, we've received grace. And with that grace, we've received life. And with that life, we've received Jesus. And with that life, with Jesus, we've received belonging. No one can belong to the kingdom of heaven if you have not confessed with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the fact that God raised him on the third day, and therefore we are saved. And that gives us the belonging that we long for. That fills the void in our hearts that we need. We all have a void. We all started off with a void. My personal testimony is that I wanted to belong, and then I fell off the cracks. But on Monday, the 6th of May, I celebrated 17 years clean of walking in true redemption of Jesus Christ. Sin no longer has dominion over me because I'm a new creation. I belong to Jesus. He gave me the belonging and he created the space for belonging. And that is our lives and our hearts, and that is our mission today. For God has not called us to sit quietly and to keep the gospel for ourselves. Amen? The world out there should know it, and when they encounter us, they should encounter the living power of Jesus Christ, which Paul's are referring to this church. And that is the accusation that Paul is giving to the church. He's saying to them, people who come into contact with you are feel condemned. And that's why there is no growth in your church because of this. But the true gospel is, we are saved by grace. And we should live by people saved by grace. Freely I have received, therefore freely I can give. Freely I have received, freely I can belong. Jesus said, come to me and I will make you a new creation. I will make you new. You will be new when you encounter me. There's no, if you encounter Jesus, that you will stay the same. No one encounters the true living God and stays the same. That's all of our story. Sitting here, the day we found Jesus, we received a fact of belonging. And the day I hope that you entered into this building is the day that God created a space for you to belong. And then you are planted and rooted and grounded into the word and the work that God is doing in this family. That you will be part of the new wine that God is pouring out into us so that we can pour it into this world where we go, where our colleagues is, that our colleagues would know the living Christ. When the students come into contact with us, they would know Jesus. Those who don't know God will know him because they have an encounter with me. And I belong because I have received Christ. And he has made me a new person. And therefore I belong. So as I'm wrapping up this morning, I want you to do some introspection. I want you to really think about the fact, what is it in your heart?
Sorry.
Okay, Siri just reminded me about another thing that I wanted to say. Technology today. And the fact that it's Mother's Day is such a significant thing as well, that I'm preaching and I'm feeling this word for today, is that when you walk into any mother's house, you feel belonging. You feel a sense of belonging because that unconditional love that God has gave through his son Jesus Christ on the cross He has poured into each and every woman. And once she becomes a mother, it's an overflow out of her. And that's why when you walk into any mother's house, a father gives a house, but the woman creates a home. Hey? And Jesus also said, I will give you a home, because when I go, I will go and prepare a place for me. No, I don't want to go to heaven alone. I'm an extrovert. I want to be with people. I don't want to sit in my corner and just look at Jesus. I want to worship with people together. Come on. And that's why we have to belong, that people around us can know Jesus. And as we belong to the kingdom of heaven, people around us sees that belonging and are drawn to that. And let our lives be evident of that. So take me back. Yeah, that's, thank you, Cindy. I like it. That, which one of, if that is you. You don't have to be a big tree today. You don't have to bring massive shade to the people around you. We all started somewhere. It all starts with a yes to Jesus and a no to the world. It all started to a no to myself and saying, Jesus, my flesh will die because of you. I want this body to be resurrected the day that you come back. I want to go to heaven. I want to be with you. I don't want to stay here. Which plant of that is you? We all start somewhere, guys. Maybe today you haven't made that choice yet. Sam, you can come up, thanks. We're going to go into a little bit of a time of worship. But this morning, you've heard the Word of God. And the Word of God says in Isaiah that the Word of God does not come back until it goes out and it does what it needed to do.
Amen.
The Word of God also says, let those who have ears hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Mm. We all have ears today.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
And we all can hear. You heard the gospel, and the gospel has changed you, and that has given you a sense of belonging. But maybe you haven't heard this gospel before. Maybe you were like me, who were out into this world trying to find everything that fulfills me and didn't find any until I hit rock bottom and came to Jesus. Maybe you shouldn't wait for rock bottom today.
Come on.
Maybe you should just not wait for rock bottom, because maybe your rock bottom might be your death.
Huh.
And the fact that I'm saying this is not a harsh word, it's the fact that I'm saying it out of true love for you as a person. Maybe your rock bottom might be your grave. The worst thing Paul says is dying without Christ. He says, in Galatians 1 and 20, a scripture that I love so much, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But for an unbeliever to live without Christ and to die without Christ means hell. And the world out there needs us today, guys. Talent, do you want to do the altar call for us?
Might be too late for you to make your life right.
So God is patient for you, what as what we are. He's patient even that perhaps someday we will decide to give our lives to Jesus. We don't have to take up what you see, our life, our need. His mind is
lost, but he loves me.